We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. One football game in the books. A lot of the other sports on campus getting ready to roll, if they haven't already. A little bit later on, we'll hear from head men's water polo coach Kirk Everest, who has three national championships in the bank and hoping to have another good squad this year as well. So we'll get Kirk's thoughts on the upcoming campaign that starts this week down in San Diego. And also Jake Curhan, who actually is on the other side of the microphone for some of these podcasts. He's got his own podcast. We'll talk to him about that and his thoughts about the game coming up this week in Seattle against the Washington Huskies. First of all, head coach Justin Wilcox. So let's wrap up UC Davis first. I mean, they always say the first game, you never know what you're going to get, but they also say the tape tells the story. You're either, you know, you can't hide things on tape, and oftentimes you're either better than you thought you were, or you were not as good as you thought you were. How good were the Bears on Saturday after you reviewed the tape?
A little of both, to be honest. I think the story of the first half really goes to the turnovers. I mean, you know, being throughout the game, we ended up being -3 and gave them three early, you know, opening kickoff and then a interception and then a fumble. So early in the game, it just felt like we had no rhythm. And I think that would have felt a lot different had we protected the ball better. So it was sloppy in that regard, and that's obviously something that can't happen. And we have got to take better care of the football. And defensively, when some of those things happen, we got to be able to put the fire out. And I think as the game went on, you know, we kind of settled down and we're in a little bit better rhythm, and you got to give UC Davis credit. They gave you a ton of different looks and both sides of the ball. So they're well coached, and they got a heck of a quarterback who's very accurate. So that gave some issues, but I think the guys settled down, and we had some good moments where we put some drives together and created some explosive plays, which was great for us. You saw Chris Brown get in there and get a bunch of touches and run through some tackles, and Chase made some really nice throws throughout the day. I think there was a handful that he'd probably like to have back, and I think as he continues to grow as a QB, he's going to make more and more of those. And so there were the good moments, but there was just too many self-inflicted wounds that we'll need to clean up as we prepare for Washington.
Well, Chris Brown ran for 197 yards. He surpassed his total of all of last year, and came close to matching the total number of carries that he had all of last year. Obviously, he was the bell cow offensively. You went to him a lot. And as you mentioned, the power that he exhibited running through some tackles gave him opportunities to have some big runs, which he did, a couple over 20, which is good, as long as previously had been like 16 yards. I mean, he showed all the work that he'd put in the offseason, and it paid off in this first game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been seeing that since, you know, winter workouts and spring football, and he really, you know, played like he's been practicing. Mm-hmm. Now, the physicality and the speed will pick up this week, and I'm just really excited for him, though, because he has put in the work, and he's proven that he deserves those reps, and we have high hopes for Chris. Now, we got to, you know, be a complete offense, and we got to continue to grow up front and blocking, you know, and at tight end and QB and receiver, and everybody's got to do their piece, but Chris could be a big part of that.
Also, when you look at the receiving core, there were some unknown factors coming in. Keikoa Crawford ended up with 2 touchdown receptions, 3 receptions on the day, transfer from Michigan. Hadn't played in 2 years. I mean, really. And so for a guy to come in and be that productive was a very positive thing, I thought, in that game.
Yeah, and Keikoa, you know, getting here a little bit later in summer, you could tell even in fall camp, he's still working himself into kind of game shape. And he's worked hard, and he's got some skills, and he's going to continue to get better and better. The more he plays in our system, the more he's worked himself into shape, and it was great to see him make a couple of those plays, as well as some of those other young guys, and we're going to need them. You know, we're going to need them all, and there were some really good moments for certain guys. It's just going to be about that consistency.
A number of guys, as the case in the first game, get their first run, so to speak. Anybody that stood out, like their first opportunity, either a true freshman or a transfer coming in, that stood out for you?
Yeah, a couple guys. I mean, Coin Dang, who was our defensive player of the game, made a lot of plays. And he played on defense. He played on special teams. He was on our PAT field goal team. And he did a really nice job for his first game out there. Now, again, the speed and the physicality is going to amp up significantly this week. But it was great to see him get in there and play like he's been practicing, really. Brett Johnson at nose guard made a couple really nice plays. Brett still got a ton to learn, but he had some good reps. Braxton Croto as well. You know, Makai Polk had a nice catch and run, and mm-hmm. want to continue to see him have opportunities, and he's got to earn those as well. And so it was good to see some of those new faces get an opportunity.
Also, Dario got in there as your punter. Yeah. I thought that he averaged over, 43 yards a boot.
Yeah, Dario did a great job. I should have brought that one up. You know, Steven is battling a little bit of an injury, but Dario has done a nice job this camp, and he went out and played very confident and, you know, hit the ball really well. And we actually, if we would have covered better, probably had even better statistics there. But I thought Dario did a really nice job for his first game out there punting.
All right, this week, big challenge, Washington Huskies, defending conference champions. And, you know, all the talk in the preseason was that, you know, new quarterback, you know, Jacob Eason coming in from Georgia. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year as a high school senior, went to Georgia, started as a true freshman at Georgia, then got hurt, and then got replaced by Jake Fromm. So he had I thought it was a really impressive performance. And he's different than Jake Browning. Jake was a winner, did a lot of good things, the all-time leading passer in the history of the Washington program. But when you watch Jacob Eason, the one thing you notice is the arm. He can fling it downfield, and so it looked like the Huskies are willing to maybe take some more shots downfield than maybe they have in recent years.
Yeah, and they have, you know, the guys to get deep as well. They're really, really impressive in their opener. They're going to give you a lot of issues with shifts and motions and run schemes and pass concepts. So they're extremely well coached, as we all know, and then the talent is pretty apparent. So it'll be a great challenge for us, really, in every phase of the game. And there's a reason they've been so successful and are the defending conference champions. You mentioned the quarterback who, you know, he's new there, but he's played in college before. And as you also noted, he's got elite arm talent. And so it's going to be a great challenge. Our guys are going to be excited. It's going to take a really good week of practice for us, and we'll have to go up and play better than we did last week, but we should play better than we did last week. I mean, that's what practice is for, and that's what this experience is all about.
Defensively, they lost 9 starters, but it looks like a case of just reloading, not rebuilding there. They put pressure on the Eastern Washington quarterback all day long. He was an elusive guy, so he got away from some of the pressures. But their secondary has been outstanding over the last couple of years. Linebacking core, I mean, and they're really big up front as they have been in recent years.
Yeah, it starts with the D-line, like you said. They're massive up front, very hard to block. Their linebackers run and make tackles. Their secondary is very skilled, and they play with really good technique across the board on defense. So, again, real well coached and great players. So we'll have to be very efficient on offense, and our guys will be ready for that challenge and be excited for it. But, you know, we have a ton of respect for them, and it'll be a great test for us. And like I said, it'll be a nice environment up there. It'll be loud, and it'll be good for us to get on the road, too. You know, we've been here a while, and sometimes it's good to shake it up and get out on the road.
The performance last year against the Huskies was one of the highlights of the season. Let's face it, you beat them here in a game in which the defense kind of scored the only touchdown of the game for the Bears. And I know a lot was made of that game here, and I know a lot has and will be made up there as well. How do you tell your players to approach that this week?
Well, it's a brand new season. The teams are different. We're different. They're different. And really nothing we did or didn't do a year ago will have any impact on this game. You know, we've got to have a great week of practice, and ultimately it's about how we perform each and every play up there on Saturday night. So it's great to be able to learn from your experiences, and we need to do that, the good ones and the bad ones, but ultimately we have to go out and perform.
All right, coming up next on the podcast, we'll have Jake Curhan, who has a podcast of his own. He's a captain, one of the three captains for the Bears this year. He's the biggest player on your roster, or close to it at least. There might be a couple of O-linemen that maybe are heavier than him. Tell us about Jake and how he's improved and what he means to your offensive line.
Jake's just an unbelievable guy. He's extremely intelligent. He's worked really, really hard. He's played a ton of football for us, basically started since he, you know, his redshirt freshman season. And again, great leader. He's been elected captain by his teammates. And really can't say enough just about how he approaches his life, his football career, what he's doing outside of football, and just an very impressive young man, and fortunate he's on our team.
Big challenge this week against that Washington defense. We'll talk to Jake about that momentarily. But, Coach, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you prior to the ball game at Husky Stadium on Saturday.
Thanks. Go Bears.
All right, we'll be on the air at 6:30 Pacific time from Husky Stadium, the Bears against the Washington Huskies, the first conference game of the year. Up next on the podcast is junior captain Jake Curhan from Larkspur, right across the bay from Cal. He's a junior offensive tackle, started 26 consecutive games. But before we talk about football, I wanted to ask Jake about what he's done this summer. He's got a podcast that he started, 5, 6, maybe even 7 of them that he's got in the can. Interesting subjects, anywhere from Yogi Roth of Pac-12 Network to Patrick Laird, a former teammate of his and now on the Miami Dolphins roster, Eric Robertson, who was an outstanding offensive lineman in the 2000s. Tell us how you came up with the name of the podcast and where can you find them?
Yeah, so the name is actually a really great story that I love. I came up with it with a really good friend of mine, Jacob Kaplan, and the second episode of the podcast is actually an interview with him. But Jacob and I went to summer camp together, and our last year there, he came up to me with this idea about halfway through the summer. He goes, you know, we should create a word and convince everybody here that it's a real thing and get people saying it. So what basically happened was I was like, okay, what should the word be? And then the summer camp's in New Hampshire, so I don't have any friends from where I grew up with over here in the Bay Area who were back there. But I did have a friend who went to St. Ignatius High School back here in the Bay Area. And whenever I would see his sweatshirt, you know, the ST dot, like abbreviation for Saint, and then Ignatius, and in my head, like, even though I know it's St. Ignatius, it would just be fun to read it as, like, Stignatius. That totally sounds like a word. So that's the first thing that came to mind. I was like, Stignatius, and we're like, okay, what should it mean? And it was like, I don't know. Let's make it mean, like, cocky. So I've then adopted the name to mean something else. I just choose that word because I just love what the story kind of says about myself and the creativity side of it. and the friendship that Jacob and I have. And after I recorded the interview with him, I was like, this has got to be what I named this. You know, it just sticks out there. It's fun. But I've adopted it, the new meaning, to sort of mean like curious. So it's like the idea is so like curious, you know, like chasing what drives people and really figuring out why people do what they do and why they love to do what they do. As for where you can find it, every major streaming service that you would usually listen to your podcast to, so that's Apple Music, Spotify, whatever other podcasting apps. It's on the hosting service I use is called Podbean. They have their own website, or I've got my own webpage that's got all of them through that service. But yeah, if you go into Apple Music, anything like that, if you either search my name, Jake Curhan, or Sost Ignatius, which is just Saint Ignatius without the period, it should.
You got that thing copyrighted?
I've not gone to file a copyright, but I did check, and there are no live copyrights or trademarks on it.
All right, that's good, because you don't want somebody to steal something good, right?
Yeah, no, I don't. And I actually, you know, I took a class about intellectual property last semester, so I was looking into, when I was trying to come up with a name, I was trying to figure all that stuff out, believe me.
Yeah. So you got your personal interest tied into academia, and that's the way it works here at Cal.
Yep.
And that's the way it should work when you go to college. You figure out what you like to do, and then let Cal kind of direct you to how to do that. So that's awesome. And good luck with that.
Thank you.
Because it's a great idea. And these podcasts are the ones that I was listening to today. These are like an hour and 5 minutes, most of them. You got a couple of maybe 40 minutes to 50 minutes, but three or four of those were like an hour. So you really get in depth.
Yeah, I mean, it's so the first interview that I recorded was the one with Patrick Laird, and I was kind of thrown off the whole time. It's the first time I've ever really interviewed somebody, and I had this big list of questions, and at the end of it, I was like, this doesn't, I mean, after everybody I interview, I asked them, is there any feedback that they can give me? And Pat was like, don't be so concerned with like what the next question is.
Structured.
Right. Yeah. Don't be so concerned with what the next question is. Say something about, like, give a response to whatever the answer is. Put your own feedback in. Make it sound like you're listening to the person.
Exactly.
And I wasn't too worried about that one because everyone here loves Pat and was going to listen to it regardless. But I'm really glad that was my first one, and that was the first piece of kind of criticism and feedback that I'd gotten, because it really helped me with the next couple. And now it's like I'll go for an hour and be like, man, there's more I want to talk about, because I've just got a list of probably three or four topics for everyone that comes on. No questions, just three or four topics, and, you know, go through them, and if something comes into my head, a question about anything they've said, I'm going to ask it, and it flows so much more naturally that way. And you know, they just get better the more and more that I do, for sure.
I mean, that's what they told us in journalism too, because oftentimes whoever you're talking to may say something that triggers a completely different offshoot of conversation than you thought you were going to go into that interview with. So listening is critical, no question about it. All right, let's talk a little bit about football, because that's why a lot of people listen to these things.
Uh-huh.
Give us your evaluation of the UC Davis game.
Slow start, for sure. There's no question about that. You know, we did a lot of good things, but there were also a lot of signs that it was the first game of the season, for sure. We got off to a slow start on, you know, in every phase, special teams, offense, and defense. But I think there are a lot of positives from this game, whereas a lot of people may be concerned. We had almost 500 yards of offense. I don't know when the last time we got close to that was. So that was a pretty exciting thing for us. And, you know, the big thing is, you know, we had four turnovers. I think we lost the turnover battle. I think we were -3 in the turnover margin. And to win a game -3 in the turnover margin is a really, really tough thing to do. And, you know, against some of our competition coming up, that won't be able to fly. But we know we can move the ball, right? So we know we can get the ball pushed further downfield on some of the throws than we've seen in some of the games last year. And we know we can pop some big explosive runs with Chris back there. And my guys, our guys, doing our job up front. So moving the ball isn't the problem anymore, where it was at some points last year. It's just cleaning up some of that sloppier play in terms of, you know, I think we had, a fumble, two fumbles and an interception, and all that stuff was avoidable. We didn't have any procedural penalties on offense.
So it usually happens in a first game. You see a lot
right.
of those.
So we were clean in terms of there was no false starting, no illegal shifts, none of that stuff. Everyone was on top of that stuff. We had a couple holds, but, I mean, some of
– the one they called on you, that was a pretty bad call.
I mean, I think that was probably the most legit of the three, and you said it. So, I mean, you know. His first game, those kind of penalties, they stall drives, but it's because we got guys playing hard, right? So those aren't things we're worried about too much. But, you know, I'm pretty excited going forward because we were moving the ball in a way we haven't moved the ball in a long time. And it's really just we clean up those turnover issues. Like I said, -3 on the turnover margin. We get that down to even -1 that game. I think we win by 3 or 4 touchdowns. So I'm pretty excited going forward and to clean that stuff up because I think in terms of, you know, just those statistics alone, like yards per play, yardage, we're doing things we haven't been able to do in a little bit. So I'm excited.
You mentioned Chris Brown. Mm-hmm. Post-game press conference. You two guys are up at the podium together.
Sure.
And then I taped a pregame interview with Chris for this week's game against Washington. And he's a man of few words. He's kind of the Teddy Roosevelt of Cal football, walk softly and carry a big stick. But you had to make sure that he gave some credit where credit was due there. And you weren't afraid to chime in and let your thoughts known about that.
No, I mean, so what we're referring to is in the press conference, you know, Chris was just trying to be really humble the whole time and didn't really give the offensive line any thanks. And it's not that he didn't mean to. It's just, you know.
It didn't come out.
So, yeah, it slipped his mind, you know. Like you said, man, a few words. But I just thought it would be funny more than anything else. But, no, Chris is a great back, and he breaks a lot of tackles on his own. So, I mean, we do what we can for him up front, and he makes us look even better by breaking all those arm tackles and just wearing out a defense. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it was just a funny little thing. Yeah, it was a fun little thing. It wasn't like there's no like beef between Chris and I. It's just like I thought it'd be funny to make sure we get some credit up there in front of everybody.
It was good natured, and you could tell by the way it came off. And hopefully we have more press conferences like that where he's running for 197 yards and you guys are having almost 500 yards of offense. All right, speaking of a challenge, you got one this week with the Huskies in Seattle. You played against them the last couple of years, not a game to remember up there 2 years ago when you were a young guy at the time. And then last year was a game to remember because of how it happened and the fact you beat a nationally ranked team here at Cal with a great defensive effort. You've seen their defense over the last couple of years. You know they're really good. But you go against a really good defense in practice every day, too. Give us your evaluation, your take on that Washington defense.
Yeah, they're always good up front. So the last couple of years, they've had a couple of guys that have, you know, have gone, and they're now in the NFL. My redshirt freshman year, Vita Vea, that is still the hardest guy I've ever blocked, right? Because I wasn't as experienced back then, and that guy was just a monster. But Greg Gaines last 2 years, has been great for them up front. So there's a little more turnover on the inside, but they're still sound players. They're good players. On the outside, they've, you know, it's similar to the stuff we go up against every day. They've got big, powerful, stout guys who've also got speed to them. This game, you know, it's going to be fun because I think we can move the ball more than we've been able to the last couple of years, maybe score some more points against these guys than we've been able to. They're going to be one of the most sound teams we play all year on defense. But at the same time, every team's got its flaws, right? So if we can protect against their pressures, there will be holes that pop up in the secondary. They're really, really, they always keep a safety really deep, preventing any really, really long plays. But when they bring the pressure and they're doing that and they're keeping all their man coverage, as long as you pick up the pressure, something will find its way open. I think the biggest challenge up front is going to be making sure we know who we're working to, because when they do play that man coverage, we don't want to be pushing out to a linebacker who's out there covering the slot or something of that nature. So it's making sure the guys on the backside of the play know who their linebacker they are working to, and as long as we get all those things done, we should be able to move the ball pretty well.
Yeah, a year ago they did not give up a pass play longer than 40 yards, and yet Eastern Washington had one this last week, 64 yards when they were in man coverage, missed tackle, boom, 64-yard touchdown. So hopefully plays like that will be available. Jake, I appreciate it. You're doing a great job. Congratulations on being one of the captains. Good luck this week, and we'll continue to track your podcasts as well.
Thank you. Go Bears.
All right, Jake Curran, junior offensive tackle from right across the bay, Larkspur, Redwood High School over there, and doing a great job for the Bears. A reminder, Cal fans, that Avoderm Natural and Nylabone invite you to join the Cal Pup Club. Cal Pup Club is a free membership open to all dogs of any ages. Just sign up today at calbears.com/pupclub to get an official Cal bandana, invitation to Cal Pup Club events, and a lot more. Avoderm Natural and Nylabone, proud partners of Cal Athletics since 2005. All right, joining me now as we sit poolside here at the Speaker Aquatic Center is myself and highly successful men's water polo coach Kirk Everest, 3 national championships. He's a Hall of Famer. The resume is at the top of the list when you think about water polo in this country. Kirk, we appreciate you taking the time. The season's about to begin this week with a trip down to San Diego. Got a little tournament going down there. And then after that, you've come back for a really intriguing exhibition game next Wednesday here at Speaker Aquatic Center. Talk about the tournament first, and then maybe the special exhibition you're going to have next week.
Yeah, we're starting off like we did last year down at the Triton Invitational at San Diego. So it's a tournament that we like to go to. A lot of good competition gets our season off right away. So we'll start off Saturday morning with Cal Baptist. We'll play LMU in the afternoon. Then depending on how we do in those games, we'll cross over to the other side of the bracket. Long Beach State's in the other side. They have an excellent team this year. Pepperdine's in the tournament. San Diego's in the tournament, who made NC2As last year and won their conference, as well as UC Irvine on the other side. So those are the kind of the notable GCC, WWPA teams that are in the tournament. We're going to catch LMU, like I said, and Cal Baptist on Saturday, kind of get the ball rolling. We're excited.
Then you come back for an exhibition on Wednesday at 5 o'clock here, and kind of a special opportunity for your young players to face some of the best in the world.
Yeah, Italian club champion Pro Recco is coming to California to do a little preseason tour. So they're going to be in the Bay Area. They're playing the Olympic Club one day. They're going to play Stanford, us, and UCLA, I believe, are having all exhibitions with them throughout the week. And it's a great opportunity. You know, they're the kind of New York Yankees or the Golden State Warriors. So our guys are excited to go up against them, but this is – you know, one of the top two or three teams in the world, and boasts multiple Olympians and gold medals and silver medals and bronze medals and European championships all through the roster, along with Radko Rudic, who's the most successful international water polo coach of all time. And so they come in with quite a pedigree. It'll be a great challenge for the guys and just a lot of fun to see them out there against these guys.
It's a great measuring stick for you guys, that's for sure. Tell us about your squad. I mean, 18-6 last year, played for the championship in the conference championship. Talk about the fact you got maybe a little younger squad this time around than you've had maybe in recent years.
Yeah, it's a super young team. I think, if I'm not mistaken, 17 of the 24 are freshmen and sophomores. So I didn't have any hair to start the season, so that's not going to change. But it's a good group of guys, and they really work hard, and they're talented. You get a little inconsistency with younger players, but you also get a tremendous amount of passion and energy, and they're ready to prove themselves. So we're excited about it, but we got a lot of new pieces, and we got to fill some big shoes. But like I said, we're excited about it, and it's a good group of guys that are really working hard, and I think have the ability to improve consistently throughout the year and be a really good team by the season's end.
a little more distribution of playing time as a result?
Yeah, that'll kind of play itself out. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns right now, you know, and what you see in practice might not translate to a real game, you know, and so, you know, you're taking some calculated risks with kids and putting them into situations and seeing what they can handle and where they struggle. And you know, I think with the young players, I think there's a ability to have some depth so that we're not overusing, you know, Shaw Falk and Jordan Hoover and some of our older players, Nikos. We'll be able to give them rest. I think we have more depth than even we thought we would have, because the young guys just seem to be a little bit further on than I expected. But we'll see on Saturday.
That's why you play some of those early matches before you get into conference play, where you have to really be good. Before we go into maybe more of the schedule, talk about over the course of the summer. You had a number of ex-players that participated for multiple countries, Canada, United States, and the Pan Am Games. And by winning the Pan Am Championships, the U.S. team qualifies for the Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo next year. I mean, that team's going to have great representation from Cal on that.
Yeah, on the girls' side, obviously, Chris Oding is one of the assistant coaches, and he's been there for a long time, and they were able to win that gold medal and punch their ticket to Japan, which is exciting. On the staff, on the men's side, Gavin Arroyo and Jeff Terrell has just joined on as one of their coaches as well, and so he got the great opportunity to go to Pan Am Games. Fantastic opportunity for him as a young coach to go to those kind of events, and he had a long stint on the national team. I don't think he ever played in a Pan American Games, so that was exciting for him to be a part of that, be a part of a gold medal winning team, help a team get to the Olympics. And Johnny Hooper was on that roster. Luca Capito was on that roster. So, you know, we're excited about those guys. They're very happy to have gotten that monkey off their back, because it gets really hard if you don't qualify in your little areas. Then you end up having to go to one tournament in a few months where everybody else in the world that has not yet qualified is going to do it. And, you know, there's a different batch of pressure on that as well. And the quality of teams is a little bit deeper. Yeah, they're really excited to get it going and start training. And, you know, it's a long ways away, but it goes real fast. So.
Yeah, it does go fast, and a great representation for the Bears. And then this fall, later on in the football season, when they induct the Hall of Fame members, obviously it's more than just football. It's all the sports get involved, and you get the opportunity to watch John Mann, who is here. He was here just before I got here, and then his last 2 years were my first 2 years down here. So we got a chance to watch him, and what an honor. I mean, when you get inducted into the Cal Hall of Fame, that's like being in the National Hall of Fame, because the quality and the success of the program over the years has been so high that to be selected, when you think of 28 programs on campus represented with Olympians and, you know, professional athletes and so forth, that's a hell of an honor.
Yeah, John was a fantastic player and was part of a national championship team on his senior year. Was a national player of the year. Obviously has the pedigree and the resume to warrant that kind of honor. And we're all very, very proud of what he accomplished here, what he represented, and excited to see him go into the Hall of Fame. It'll be a great night.
It always is. More about your schedule. I mean, you know, you've got the non-conference schedule, and then you have the conference. I mean, the conference is clearly the best in the country. Usually the top four teams in this conference are the top four teams, maybe even deeper than that, in the country. What's it going to take? Because you're going to host the conference tournament here, which is nice, in November. What's it going to take to nab one of those top two spots?
Yeah, it's going to be a challenging year. Like I said, we're a young team and going to have to kind of find our identity quickly, because the season just gets going fast. You know, Long Beach State, a lot of people are kind of picking to have a chance to kind of get into that group of four and take a couple games out of it. They have a really talented team, some really good incoming recruits that we think will be difference makers. Again, you got to see them in play, but on paper, they come from good programs and they've made impacts either and here or internationally as well. So they have a good, solid, deep team. Had a couple of transfers. And so they seem to be a really top team. We could see them on Sunday. So we're going to find out real quick. And then we get back from San Diego. You know, we could see them. We could see San Diego has a really good team. UC Irvine's got a good team. Pepperdine's, you know, again, some people are picking them to win their conference this year as well. So the GCC is a really competitive conference this year with three or four teams that are kind of lining up to try to win that, automatic bid, along with UOP. Santa Barbara won it last year. The regular season didn't win the tournament. And we're going to see, we could see a mix of those, and we're definitely going to see UOP the second weekend of the season. We got Davis, that won, that was a regular season champion in their conference and lost in the tournament, their conference tournament to San Diego. We're going to see them on Saturday. We're going to see a UOP on Sunday. So we're going to get a pretty good idea pretty soon as to kind of where we are and how resilient this young group is and how ready our older guys are to shoulder the load when we need it.
When in basketball, they talk about the RPI, strength of schedule, and those kinds of things. I don't think there's any question that year in and year out, Cal Water Polo is going to face one of the toughest schedules in the country based on the quality of the teams out here on the West Coast, and no different this year. Well, good luck this week down in San Diego. It'll be exciting here next Wednesday, 5 o'clock. Have that Italian team come in. Yeah. Load them up on pasta before the match, maybe sink them in the water a little bit and have some fun there.
Take them out to Alcatraz and get them some sun. And
maybe Ghirardelli Square, maybe load them up on chocolate and all that kind of stuff. Whatever it takes, exactly right. Hey, Kirk, thanks for being with us. We certainly appreciate it, and good luck this season.
All right, thank you very much. Go Bears.
Go Bears. Well, thank you very much for listening once again to Bear In Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. And reminder, we'll be on the air from Husky Stadium, the Bears against the Dogs in football. We'll be on the air at 6:30 Pacific time with a pregame show in what should be a very exciting game, the first road game of the season, and, of course, the first conference game of the season as well. So for all of us at Bear In Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, I'm Todd McKim. Thanks again, and as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear In Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.